It's another edition of To Your Health, the podcast series from Cayuga Medical Center.
So many women have a physical, hormonal, or medical condition that may have sabotaged their sex life, yet very few women bring it up to their physicians. They may be too embarrassed to discuss it or not even quite sure who to discuss it with. My guest today is Lori Davis. She's a nurse practitioner specializing in sexual medicine with a focus on women's sexual function at Cayuga Medical Associates. Lori, tell us about the field first of sexual medicine. What is that?
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on and giving me an opportunity to talk about sexual medicine. Sexual medicine is a newer discipline. You know, its sexual functioning has been something that has been treated, you know, back to antiquity. But it was really only in the 1990s that the modern medical system really kind of began to take an interest in sexual functioning from a medical perspective. And sexual medicine is a discipline that really tries to bring together all under one roof, all of the best evidence-based practice that we've gathered from urology, from gynecology, from psychology, and to put that all under one roof and then to build upon that with additional research to begin to really come to understand how sexuality functions, how best to assess it, how best to treat it when people have distress. It's a growing discipline. There are practitioners all over the world. There are major international conferences, journals, and so it's a great honor for me to be able to bring this new discipline to Ithaca and to offer this kind of support services for women in our community.
How is overall health linked to sexual health and activity? For women especially, how is everything from our physiological health and well-being to our self-esteem and our mental health and well-being attached to good sexual health?
That's a great question. You know, I think it goes both ways. I think there are certainly situations in which women's medical and other conditions contribute to sexual dysfunction. So you think about something like, you know, a diabetes that can cause a lack of sensation or, you know, heart issues that can cause lack of sort of stamina or lack of circulatory flow. So in that way, medical problems can lead to sexual dysfunction. And also sexuality is a really important component of our overall health. And so having a healthy sex life feeds back into having healthy self-esteem, into having good relationships with our partners, into having strong families, and also just in terms of sort of rejuvenating us and allowing for healing to take place.
What are some of the main types of sexual problems that affect women that you see and that you treat?
So I like to think about them in four kind of categories. Typically, we see lots of women with desire issues. I also treat women who have issues with arousal, so issues related to lubrication, issues related to orgasm, and also to pain. So there are those four different categories. I would say that sexual dysfunction in these areas is very, very common. Probably at least 43%, depending on which research study you're looking at, of women in America would report some type of sexual dysfunction across their lifetime. A third of women would report low sexual interest. A fourth of women would say that have difficulty experiencing orgasm. And a fifth of women would say that they have pain disorders. So all of these things are very common. And I think that it can be difficult for patients to bring it up with their providers and difficult for providers to navigate the assessment and treatment of these disorders. And, I would just suggest that there is a lot of really good evidence to support some evidence-based strategies for people who are suffering with any of these problems. And seeing a sexual medicine provider, it would be a really great way to sort of access some of this newer research.
So let's talk about some of what's hot, what's going on in the area of sexual medicine right now. And one of the things that I found interesting in my research was the rise in STIs in the over 50 crowd as they get divorced or move on to a new part of their life. Tell us a little bit how that works into your field.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for a long time, treatment of sexuality for women and for men really focused so much on infections and on reproductive health. And though as part of my work as a women's health practitioner, I do certainly treat infections and help women with their reproductive lives. In terms of sexual medicine, it's really more about looking at those components, like I stated about desire, arousal, orgasm, or pain. You know, in terms of the rise of infections in that crowd, you know, for me, that just comes back to the importance of sex education, which is such an important part of the sexual medicine offering, you know, and sort of allow giving information to people about how their bodies work and about how these infections are transmitted and, you know, how to have healthy sexual relationships in ways that are safe. So I think that in terms of bringing that education and counseling piece into the overall treatment of people's sexual wellness is how I would relate the sexual medicine component to STIs.
One of the things we mentioned earlier as far as sexual medicine and sexual health is the self-esteem factor. And when you're talking about desire issues, arousal problems, some of those can come from a woman maybe in menopause, not feeling her, you know, complete self, not feeling very pretty or attractive or any of those kinds of things that could affect desire problems or, you know, even orgasmic problems. How do you help women with that?
You know, when I work with women, low desire is, you know, thinking it from that perspective is one of the most common problems that women have. And there's so many reasons why women will have low desire. And, you know, how I work with women is just to begin to first hear their story. You know, what is your version of this? What has happened in your life? What are your medical problems? What are your medical, what medications are you taking? Tell me about your relationship with your partner and talk about your body image as well. And then moving into thinking about like what sort of treatment, you know, and also doing a physical exam, but then moving into what sort of treatment options are available. And, you know, whether it's looking at just providing simple sex education, and education for women is often so limited in this area. And so that can be a huge benefit. I've seen a lot of kind of aha moments with women as they start to see that, like, oh, that's how my body functions, and this thing that I'm experiencing is normal, you know, and that can be so powerful for women as they take this journey to try to address these issues. You know, I think that low self-esteem and problems with relationships and intimacy, you know, things that are barriers to intimacy, all of those things come up during the visit, and they're all addressed in a sort of in a limited perspective, in the sense that I'm not a sex therapist, but I am able to provide counseling and education that can start to begin to open that door with them and allow them to make some progress and movement towards, you know, going beyond some of those concerns that they might have. And if those concerns seem to be more than that can handle in a short few sessions, then that can be transitioned over to a sex therapist as well.
One common complaint from women is pelvic pain and sexual pain disorder. What are some treatment options out there today? Speak about when you're working with someone, some of the treatments that you can offer to help with some of these four things that you've brought up today.
Yeah. In terms of pelvic pain, we are very fortunate here in Ithaca that we have some excellent pelvic floor physical therapists. And most people probably haven't heard of pelvic floor physical therapy, but they are physical therapists that are specifically trained to work with the muscles that line the pelvic floor. And most women think that this is just a Kegel exercises and it's about tightening the pelvic floor. But for many women with pelvic pain, a component of it almost every time is going to be overly tight pelvic floor muscles. And so a really good examination by myself, working closely with the pelvic floor physical therapist, is usually a significant component of treating pelvic pain for women. Other things that go into pelvic pain that I might offer in treatment would be hormonal treatments. Certainly for women who have gone through menopause, they can experience symptoms of vaginal dryness and thinning of the vulva that can lead to significant pain with intercourse. And depending on their medical history, most women are candidates for some sort of hormonal treatment or use of moisturizers or lubricants that can help with dryness and atrophy. You can all, there are people who benefit from other kinds of systemic treatments. But I think that pelvic floor PT for people with pelvic pain, plus treating any skin conditions with hormonal treatments, are really the mainstay of working with people with pelvic pain. And of course, there are other kinds of issues that people have, like interstitial cystitis, or maybe they have endometriosis, and they're going to have their own treatment plan, but likely also involving the pelvic PT.
As we wrap up, this is such an important topic for women to hear, Lori, and really something, as we said at the beginning, that they're not always comfortable discussing. Please give us your best advice about women and starting this discussion with their providers, explaining the symptoms that they're going through, and being straightforward and honest so that they can get the help that they need.
Absolutely. You know, I think that these conversations are really difficult, and you know, it's also on all of us as providers to have the courage to ask the questions. You know, it's not just the woman who's afraid to ask; it's often the provider who's afraid to bring it up as well. And so, I think you just really have to kind of normalize this discussion. And I think this podcast is a perfect opportunity to do that. That these problems, these issues, are really normal part of being a woman, and that there are treatment options out there. I would say that, you know, if you want to talk with your provider about it, I would just suggest just being as frank as you can. You know, the provider might initially have some discomfort around the conversation, or just be in, sort of out of their element a little bit. But you know, and the providers have the training to be able to have these conversations with you. And if you kind of open the door a little bit, I think that you'll have a more receptive audience than it might seem initially. And the great thing now is that, you know, I think sometimes the providers have a concern about bringing up these issues because they're not maybe sure what they would say and how they would treat. And I think the great thing now for Ithaca is that Kugel Medical Associates has been able to bring in, you know, myself with this training in sexual medicine. So now if a question comes up, there is a referral that can be made, and that the providers and the patients can know that, like, okay, maybe this conversation doesn't feel right in this setting, or for whatever reason, I'd like to speak to somebody else. And I think it's very helpful to know that there's more support in the community and resources that can be accessed.
And that's the main message. And thank you so much for letting the listeners know that there are resources and support in the community for sexual medicine and for women to be able to discuss this with their providers. Thank you for joining us. This is To Your Health with Cayuga Medical Center. For more information, please visit CayugaMedicalAssociates.org. That's CayugaMedicalAssociates.org. This is Melanie Call. Thanks so much for tuning in.